Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The largest supermarket chain in the United States tightened its gun selling policies today in response to last month's deadly school shooting in Parkland, Florida. Kroger Company is the third major retailer to change policies while lawmakers debate their response to the shooting. Walmart will no longer sell guns to anyone under 21, and Dick's Sporting Goods will end sales of AR-15s, the assault rifle used in the Florida shooting. Dick's Sporting Goods Chairman and CEO Edward Stack spoke about this on Good Morning America this week.
Based on what's happened and looking at those kids and those parents, it moved us all unimaginably and to think about the loss and the grief that those kids and those parents had. We said we need to do something, and we're taking these guns out of all of our stores.
Other companies, Apple, Amazon, FedEx, they're all facing boycott threats from a social media-fueled campaign and from emotional appeals from some of the Florida teens who witnessed the shooting. Among them, 17-year-old David Hogg, who's calling for college students to boycott Florida as their spring break destination this month to force lawmakers there to take a tougher stand on gun control.
We are taking action and asking people not to come to Florida until reasonable gun legislation is passed. One, because how do we ensure that these tourists that come to Florida are safe? And two, maybe these politicians will listen to a billion-dollar industry if they won't listen to us.
We're asking this hour, has the wallet become the tool to try to affect change in the U.S.? And how do corporations navigate and decide when and which side to take in a heated social debate? Have corporations shifted to the left? Well, joining us to talk about this is Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. He wrote a piece this week titled, Why Are Corporations Finally Turning Against the NRA? Hi, Derek.
Hi, good to be here. Thank you.
Also with us in the studio is Dutch Leonard. He's a professor of public management and business administration at Harvard University. Hello.
Nice to be with you, Deborah.
And listeners, we'd like to hear from you, so please join the conversation as well. What do you think about corporations wading into the gun debate? Are you boycotting or taking any action? Are you going to use your dollars to try to influence this debate? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. So, Derek, I'd like to start with you. I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about why you think corporations are getting involved right now.
Well, there's a couple of theories that I think can all be true simultaneously. I'll count down four, and I'll go through them really quickly. Mm-hmm. The first one is that this is about consumer retention. It's about the fact that the companies that are moving against the NRA are doing so because they think that their consumers are fed up. So they're behaving like any company does and reacting essentially to its customers. Number two is that this is really about recruiting. It's about the fact that these companies need to recruit from a pool of younger college-educated people, and younger college-educated people that are millennials tend to lean a little bit left. They tend to support gun control policies, and so they're essentially trying to boost or market their to their recruiting pool. Number three is that this is about sort of the board and the employees that work at the company already, that corporations may indeed be to the left of the NRA, which itself is a relatively small organization and represents, only maybe a handful of million people, whereas, Delta United move hundreds of millions of people a year. And then number four, I think it's possible that these corporations are essentially saying, look, we need to establish our liberal bona fides because we're worried about liberal lawmakers who may sweep Trump out of office turning against us at some point, raising taxes, trying to break up some of the largest oligopolies out of fear of market power. And so when you put all of this together for the consumers, for the recruiting, for the boards and employees there, and for protecting themselves against future liberal policy, you do have the beginning of a very strong case for moving against relatively fringe groups like the NRA.
So this is really a strategic business decision here. These four reasons that you mentioned to me are all business reasons. It's not, except for number three, maybe, of the board and employees, agreeing this, and actually maybe many of them actually being to the left of the NRA. But you're saying that this is a strategy decision on the part of businesses really to help their bottom line.
Essentially, yeah. I think it's extremely rare that businesses do things that they know are going to lose them money. even when businesses act in such a way where they think they're going to lose money in the short term, they do it because they think they're going to make more money in the long term. You know, they might, for example, say that they're going to, you know, spend more money on a LEED approved building that might cost more to build, but they do so not only to advertise their environmental bona fides, but because they think that it might save them energy costs over the lifetime of that building.
Right, so, but it's a gamble, right, though? I mean, what if you're on the wrong side here, right? I mean, it's a
Oh, sure.
Gamble.
Well, I think, yeah, you're exactly right. It is a bit of a gamble. But they don't have a choice. I mean, the politicization of the public sphere is just compelling a lot of essentially nonpartisan companies to take one partisan stand after another. You have a president who has found a remarkable ability to politicize absolutely everything, whether it's, you know, the NFL, the FBI, and, you know, modern entertainment. It's impossible to escape the glare of politics, the glare of partisanship. And so you have a lot of companies that are forced to make a decision, that are forced to step to the left or to the right, where it becomes more costly to be seen as dithering and doing nothing in the middle. And a lot of these companies, when they do find a need, or when they do find an opening in their consumer base, in their recruiting efforts, on their team essentially, then they'll say, all right, well, you know what, we haven't essentially made a stand, a political stand before, but we're going to do it now because we do think that it is in the best interest of our stakeholders and our shareholders.
Mm. Dutch, are corporations becoming the new activists?
So I think it's a really interesting moment in our history, Deborah. And Derek ended his Atlantic article with the line that said that these corporations are now on the front lines. And actually, just further to that, they've been maneuvered onto the front lines by the activists. Mm. And it used to be that corporations tried to find a place to stand that was basically neutral. They supported causes that weren't controversial. They supported public education. They supported anti-breast cancer movement. And who was going to be on fault them for that? And so today what we're seeing is a really new part of the risk environment. And that's I teach about risk management at Harvard Business School, and this is a real change in the risk environment for corporations because it doesn't feel, and this is part of what Derek was just saying, it doesn't feel like there's any neutral or safe place to stand. If you haven't taken a stand, someone wants you to.
Right.
And if you have, then someone doesn't like the stand you've taken.
And what about the backlash that certainly Delta has gotten over all of this? So the airline says it's going to end its promotional discount with the NRA, but Republicans in the Georgia State House, because Delta's a big employer in Georgia, are threatening to remove a $50 million sales tax exemption on jet fuel to Delta. So there are that's a big risk there. That's a big. What do you think of all?
There's
that?
A fair amount of money on the table there, and there is a big risk. Although when cooler heads think about this, the folks in Georgia will realize there were other reasons why they had offered this to Delta, and that there's a bigger game at play here. So a lot of that is just going to be political posturing. But there is real pressure, and so FedEx is a very interesting example of this. You know, FedEx has said it's not going to remove its membership benefits for the NRA as one of its many alliances, as alliances with many different organizations. And it's possible that FedEx will gain more from NRA members who say they stood with us than it will lose from other people who will soon forget that it was FedEx versus whoever else it might have been doing this. So I think all of this is very much up in the air. It remains to be seen whether these risks and costs will come to be visited. But that's the lens through which I look at this, is thinking about what I'm seeing is a significant increase in the level of uncertainty about how these things will play out and of demands being pushed by activists on both sides to get corporations to take positions. Interestingly, corporations voluntarily entered this terrain, I think really for the first time around the gay rights movement. And the Indiana LGBT discrimination law, as some would have it, or anti-religion discrimination law that Michael Pence signed when he was governor of Indiana.
Hmm.
And that was a time when corporations actually voluntarily stepped forward into a very controversial zone.
Right.
And I think we're just going to see more and more demand for them to have a view about controversial issues as well as other matters.
I wonder, Derek, what do you think? Are we at a time really where folks are feeling as if their influence over their elected representatives is just not very strong, so they have to pursue other avenues?
I think this is a great question. It's a question that I try to get at in my piece in The Atlantic. You know, It definitely does seem like if you're a liberal activist right now, it's tough to know where you petition government. Republicans control the White House. They control the Senate. They control the Congress. I believe they control 32 state legislatures and the majority of governor's mansions. I mean, we are at a century high in terms of the sheer level of Republican control of national governance. So if you're a liberal activist and you want to change the system, well, maybe government isn't going to respond to you because government's Republican. So where do you go? Well, maybe you go to corporations. Maybe you try to surround political bodies with pressure. And so I think that in many ways, that's exactly what's happening, is that you have a lot of liberal activists who have essentially said a social media campaign, a hashtag, isn't going to get Trump impeached. It's not going to have Mitch McConnell turn over the keys of government to Chuck Schumer, but a social media hashtag campaign could get Delta stop sponsoring NRA annual meetups. It could get Kroger's and Walmart and Dick's to stop selling assault weapons or to stop selling to buyers under the age of 21. They've seen time and time again that corporations are receptive to the right kind of pressure, and so I do think that you're going to see more political strategies work through the vector of corporations.
Okay, Derek, just about a minute until you have to go to another call.
I just wanted to observe, Deborah, that it's important to look at different kinds of corporations. So there are privately held corporations like Hobby Lobby, which is actually taking direct positions, political positions on its own. There are corporations that in which there is a concentrated shareholder who has a lot of power over what the corporation does. Timberland used to be an example of that when Jeff Schwartz was very much involved in activist causes and the corporation was. And then there are public corporations, and that's what we're seeing here, is a new world of public corporations being pushed. But it's important to, when we look at these strategic decisions, and I think all good business decisions are strategic decisions, we're looking at corporations making these. We need to think about the different types of corporations that are at play here.
Well, we actually want to talk with someone about corporate responsibility, who's from a company. Chris Miller, social mission activism manager at Ben & Jerry's, is on the line. Chris, thanks very much for joining us.
Great to be here, Deb.
So I'm wondering, Chris, what do you think of this situation that we're in now, where companies are taking a stand on issues and really, divisive issues in the country?
You know, Deb, I think this is where companies like Ben & Jerry's, companies like ours, that really have been built around a set of values, have it a bit easier. I think, we have a history of taking positions on issues that are controversial, but we do it from a place that's rooted in our deeply held beliefs. And so, what that means is, and I don't by any means want to suggest that we're perfect or we've got this all figured out, but, in our day-to-day business operations, we tend to want to do business with suppliers and with others that, share our values. And so I can say fairly confidently that our company would not have entered into a commercial relationship with the National Rifle Association. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we've been outspoken proponents of the Black Lives Matter movement. That was controversial. We got heat for it, but we were willing to take that heat because it was something that we believe very deeply. I think what you're seeing now are corporations being forced to respond to issues that they haven't had a particular connection with before.
Have you ever regretted taking a stand on something, or did you ever suffer a loss?
I think the quick answer is no, we haven't suffered a loss. I think we believe, and I think this is true not only for Ben & Jerry's, but I think increasingly with the rise of millennial consumers, with the kinds of transparency that digital and social media channels are driving, particularly on corporations, that we believe that it's better to be loved by some than to be inoffensive to everyone. And so I think we are fiercely nonpartisan, but we don't shy away from taking a stand on an issue that may be political that we believe deeply in.
All right. Well, Chris Miller, social mission activism manager for Ben & Jerry's, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks, Deb.
Also, I want to go to some of our callers here who have been patiently waiting on the line. Dan is calling from Reading. Dan, you're on the air.
Hi, how's it going?
Okay. What's up?
Nothing. So I really appreciate the conversation, even as a gun owner in the state of Massachusetts, which, yes, I know it's kind of a taboo subject.
Really? We didn't know you existed, Dan.
I know. Actually, there's quite a few of us out there. And there's quite a few of us that believe in personal responsibility. And
so I hope we're not losing you now, Dan, because you haven't even gotten to say your piece yet. Do you think that these what do you think of these corporations taking a stand here?
I think it's well within their right. I'm proud of them for doing that. They're gonna make a decision one way or another, and they have every right to do that. I think that if they're willing to take that hit in one small area of their business, I think it'll be worth it. I think there's a lot of gun owners out there that have been scratching their heads for years. You know, can't stand that the NRA wants to.
I think unfortunately, Dan, and I'm being very truthful with you, we are losing your phone line. I wish we could hear more from you, and I'm sure we'll have more on the gun debate in Massachusetts. So please call us again. Anne is calling from Chelmsford. Anne, you're on the air.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you very much. No, I want to just express my support for Dick's Sporting Goods. I'm not a gun owner. I'll never be a gun owner. I look at it as if you don't want a gun, don't buy one. But I have no interest in taking away anyone's guns. On the other hand, if there are certain guns, and the war weapons should not be in the hands of people who don't know how to use them. Mm-hmm. Responsible gun owners, have a great time. Go to town, go to the mm-hmm. gun range, enjoy yourself. But there are certain people that really shouldn't have them.
All right.
And so I will be stomping on down to Dick's Sporting Goods to buy a new pair of running shoes because I support what they've done. I will tell them when I buy my new set of Brooks and let them know how very much I appreciate their sense of social responsibility.
Okay, Anne, thanks very much for the call. Dutch, you were laughing when she said that.
I think that's exactly what consumers ought to do. Corporations pay a lot of attention to what their consumers are telling them about what they actually want. And I thought the comments from Ben and Jerry's were really interesting.
Right.
This is a corporation that really did have a lot of orientation toward trying to make a positive difference through causes. And notably, they were originally a privately owned company. But then they were taken over by a major international, Unilever, a major international mm-hmm. corporation, and they managed in the negotiations about how they were taken over to maintain their ability to maintain a cause-oriented position. So I think that's a very interesting feature of our history here.
Hmm. Now, Derek, we have just a couple of seconds left here. I'm just wondering, last word here, is this really the wave of the future on the part of corporate America?
Yes, it absolutely is. It's the wave of the future because activists have seen it's working. And as more activists see that it works, they're going to try harder to move government by moving corporations first. I also think that's number one. Number two, I think that, in sociology, there's a concept of herding behavior. It becomes more difficult to hold off when you see that your competitors are moving in a certain direction. Once Dick's moves, then you see Walmart moves,
right.
Kroger moves. Same thing happened with the airlines.
Okay, Derek, we've got to run. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Dutch Leonard is a professor at Harvard University. Sorry, I called you Derek earlier. Dutch, thanks for coming in the studio.
Delighted to be here, Deborah. Thank you.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.